Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of the Mobilecast. We're coming to you live from M Enterprise in Boston. And I am very excited about my next guest, who is Dan Bricklin from Alpha Anywhere.
Alpha Software.
Alpha Software, I'm sorry.
The makers of Alpha Anywhere.
And I'm going to ask Dan to introduce himself. I'm just going to say it's exciting because Dan is the inventor of the spreadsheet, the father of VisiCalc, which had its 36th anniversary, if I recall.
Of shipping. It was actually shipped approximately 36 years ago.
So, it was, I think, earlier in the week, either Monday or Tuesday, 36th anniversary. So, Dan, introduce yourself because we're limited on time and I want to get right into questions. So
okay. Thanks. I'm glad to be here. And I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Alpha Software Corporation. And I mainly concentrate on user interface and client-side stuff, but what we make is Alpha Anywhere that lets you, it's a development environment, rapid mobile application development system to build the client and server side of mobile applications, as well as desktop applications, browser, but mainly I'm concentrating on the mobile stuff. Prior to that, I had done iPad development as an iOS developer in native code. And before that, I've done a million other things from the web world to the desktop world, et cetera.
So, what did you do before VisiCalc?
Before VisiCalc, I did one of the first screen-based word processors at Digital Equipment Corporation in the mid-70s when we were still arguing between page-oriented versus document-oriented. Of course, document-oriented won when it came to word processing and when it came to presentation graphics and other things than page-oriented one. But, I was doing that. We're on a PDP-8 from, and before that I worked on the Multics project. Multics is the precursor to Unix and Linux.
So
I go way back.
You go way back. You got a lot of history, which is actually kind of, and if I recall correctly, you're also from my alma mater.
Yeah, which?
From across the river?
Across the river. I've been on both sides of the river.
Okay.
I went to both MIT for my computer science electrical engineering degree and to Harvard Business School to get
I guess the business school's on the other side of the river.
Yeah.
Harvard's on the same side of the river.
Right, yeah.
So, MIT is my alma mater as well. But a few years difference between us, although I have plenty of gray now in my hair. So let's dig in. Alpha Anywhere, I've been watching this a while, and actually, your CEO was on stage on the CEO panel right. with three other MBAS
right.
companies, and at various times you've actually said that you're an MBAS, and at times you've said you're not. So what do you do, and are you – let's start with what do you do,
okay. And
then are you an MBAS or are you not an MBAS?
We're not only MBAS, which is what many of those – specifically they say that. What Alpha Anywhere does is it lets you build entire applications, assuming that you have some database, let's say a SQL database or something using some other web service to get to it. Let's say Oracle or MySQL. MySQL is very SQL Server is very popular among a lot of our users. Our system builds everything from there all the way through what runs on the client. That would be HTML5 based on the client, often PhoneGap, wrapped in PhoneGap. And so when you say MBAS, some of what you're doing when you go from the client through to the final database.
Yeah. To be clear, I don't like the term MBAS.
I know, I don't like it, but I'm stuck with it.
I'm okay with backend as a service. I don't like putting mobile in front of it because
right.
I think that you can be backend for anything.
Right, yeah. So we didn't.
It's kind of middleware.
People are
anyway.
Saying, are you? And it's like, we never said we were MBAS, but then we said, wait a second. If you have a client application and it has to connect to some existing data that you have back there, something in the middle may be doing some conversions or whatever, doing some logic of some sort. Doing the SQL commands, et cetera, that may not be actually be in your mobile device, which is just asking, filter it on this, and you want to. So we build that whole thing. So we're building a piece that could be considered the middle. On the other hand, the back end, but we could be connecting to those systems. So you don't have to connect directly to Oracle. You can connect to a conveyor, whatever, that does whatever it does.
You work with other so-called MBASs.
MBASs, or our, what you build on the client with us doesn't have to go to our server stuff.
Yeah,
it can go to their servers.
So let's move off the MBAS because I think that's where the, you know, when we talk about what you do and where the money is,
yeah,
what do you do? Because it's interesting you said wrapped in phone gap, and yet you do a lot of programming pieces in there. So explain what you do.
So what we do is that we're, when you come in and say, you being, let's say, a company that needs an application. The applications, one area that I'm concentrating on right now is mobile workers. And the mobile workers, right now, they're probably taking clipboards out with paper forms that are part of a process that they're doing. And they probably have, you probably have 1,000 different of these things. You have to build these applications. So, and what you'd like to do is you don't want to be like paper. You want it to be able to, already have some data in it. You want it to be able to respond to the inputs. You want the inputs to be tuned to using a tablet to take advantage of it, take pictures and videos and stuff like that. Respond to the values that people put in and maybe have other things they have to fill out or warnings, etc. You want to build that application. You want to hook it up to your back-end system. You would use Alf Anywhere to build the whole thing from. And also to have really nice user interfaces, be able to either use default ones that will do for you, or to let you use your graphic designers or UI designers who say, no, here's how I want it to work. Here's how I want it to look. Here is CSS and HTML mockups to show you what I want it to be. We can take those directly and use them within to build the application.
So where does the PhoneGap or Xamarin or whatever fit?
They're different things. PhoneGap and Xamarin are different.
Okay. Because
right?
Yes. You specifically said it might be a PhoneGap app.
Yeah, so let me talk about PhoneGap app. Since we produce HTML5 applications, that means they're running on the client device, on the phone or on the tablet. They're running in a browser control of some sort, either like in Safari or Chrome or... But you may not want it to run that way. You'd like to run it as an app that can be installed. PhoneGap or Cordova, which is the open source version of the same thing, that is an app that wraps your HTML and your JavaScript and your CSS and lets it be an app that can be installed, which has its advantages because you can control that using a lot of the management systems, etc. We can automatically produce the PhoneGap, all the things necessary to wrap your application in PhoneGap, which is connecting back to your servers, etc. So
I'm going to stop you there. You build an HTML5 app.
Yeah.
You wrap it in PhoneGap. Is it running on the server or is it running on the client? So are you caching data on the client? Is it a true app or is it a...
Whichever.
Kind of like... Let's say you and I have been using an app the last couple of days where every time you open the app, it has to go back to the server and refresh and all
that.
The
beauty first of all, we move as much to the client as possible so we can make it really easy to run offline where you're not connected to the server. But if you're going to do a query on something that you haven't preloaded into your system because, you know, gigs and gigs and gigs of or terabytes of data. You need to be connected. But if you don't need, let's say you're just collecting data, there's no need to be connected. We can work where you're going to a screen that you haven't seen before, where you can say, this screen is not going to be resident all the time. I want to do it on demand, because depending on who the person is, I may only load certain pieces of the screen. They may not be allowed to. You can do that if you want. But you can also say, no, I want this thing to be completely resident. Even in a browser, using the app cache system of browsers, we can even run in a disconnected environment where there's no connectivity, no Wi-Fi, no nothing, and still run the app while you're...
The offline usage is taken care of. So what makes – I hate to say it this way, it's going to come off wrong, but what makes you special? Because anybody can build HTML5. Anybody can throw it into Cordova/PhoneGap. So what makes – and I know some of the answer. And, we'll talk about your watch thing later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But what the anywhere – anybody can, I think, is – a misconception. All sorts of people can learn to program. It doesn't mean they're good at it. or they like doing it, or they should be spending their time at it, because it's a time-consuming process.
Absolutely.
In the old days, when you first got the Apple II, you could write in BASIC a program. And somebody like Ben Rosen, who was an analyst at Morgan Stanley, he would write his own BASIC program. It took him hours to do it.
Then I remember writing BASIC programs.
Right. Then he got his hand on VisiCalc, the first electronic spreadsheet. Oh, in 15 minutes, he didn't have to think about all the programming stuff, even though he could do it. He wasn't good at it. He was an analyst and eventually venture capitalist. But he could think about his problem, which he understood well, and build exactly what he wanted, because the tool, the building system, took care of the tedious, hard-to-do, error-prone stuff. For example, to run offline, to be able to handle things offline, that when you synchronize, be able to handle data conflicts or data integrity and be able to bubble those back and roll things and all that, you can program that. It's a lot of learning to learn how to do
that. Absolutely.
You don't learn that in Code for America on the first, lesson. So, and you definitely don't want your MBAs who know or your people who know the line of business well because they used to work on the line and they know how to manufacture well. You want them to think of the business problems and you want your system to leverage it. So what Alpha Anywhere does is it lets you build things just like in the days before in the desktop world, we had Microsoft Access. Microsoft Access let people who were not really good programmers necessarily
build really crappy programs.
But guess what? They worked. They solved their business problems.
Now, 100% agree with you. Although you can't do that today, 100%. There are so many access programs out there. It's incredible.
Right. And business runs on that. Okay.
Yes.
And just think of all the spreadsheets and the Excel spreadsheets with VBA and stuff like that. We wanted to enable those type of people who really, they may understand their data really well. They understand how the data should be presented, how the data should be collected, what the edge cases are to watch out for. That's that they're special with. So that's one of the things that's real important. That's what many systems say they do that. What Alpha is really good at is allowing people at the level of an access programmer build these apps, both the client and the server side. Remember, a lot of people only know iOS and they can't spell SQL, okay? And people who know how to spell SQL but couldn't program in Xcode to save their lives. We allow them to be able to build the whole thing, but we want to be able to bring this to make it possible. But if they need to do something that we hadn't thought of, where the property sheet type stuff where you choose things and all isn't sufficient for them, we provide all these events and all the settings where you can drop into code. You can say, I don't like your widgets. I want to build my own widget. I can build it in JavaScript, or I picked it up off the internet, and I can modify it to put it in here. I don't like your look. I want my CSS for this. I don't like your backend. I want to be able to take a node module and use it to do that processing. That's the thing with it. It's what Forrester calls a low-code system. It's a system that lets you be able to drop into code at any point, at the same time that you're still mainly working at a high level.
Yeah.
So that's where we are special is that we have a rapid mobile application development system for rapidly building things. So it's for people who aren't necessarily super coders.
So essentially what you're doing is you're enabling people who understand the business to put apps together without necessarily being great coders or anything
coders.
Else.
It helps to be – the more you are a coder, the better – the thing we do because we're a low-code system, as Forrester calls it, we let you drop in and do the coding. Okay, there are very few low-code, MRAD or whatever they call it, MRAD systems. Okay, but we also handle things like offline really well, where we have that built in.
And that's always been an issue for HTML and people who build apps.
Not just for
that.
Even if you're looking at Xamarin, which is coding.
100% agree. A lot of people forget to take offline into account.
They think they'll throw it in at the last minute.
And I actually, because your CEO brought up some cool stuff and we were arguing about, which I think will make for a good conversation for the last 15 minutes. But before we do that, I just want to hit on, you actually built a Apple Watch prototyper. I don't even know what to call it. It's an app.
It's nothing at all like everything else we're talking about.
It's not an app, but it's actually very cool. And I just want to give you a chance. I don't even know if it's part of Alpha. It's more like your own toy, and I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about it because it's very cool. It is on the Apple App Store, if I recall correctly.
It's called Watch Bench.
Yep.
Watch Bench. And it actually seems to work on the new iOS
2.0.
9 with the 2.0. We haven't tried it on 2.01, which came out this morning.
And as we're sitting here, I'm actually updating my watch to Apple Watch 2.01. So we'll see what happens.
Because we're selling our system to people who need to experiment and learn about, and a lot of them are going to be asked by their CEO, what do we have? What's in the watch? I felt we needed a prototyping system to let people quickly build simple applications on the watch. And I figured out a way of let people who only know JavaScript, they have to be conversant in JavaScript, using just their phone. All you need is like an iPhone to do the development. And an Apple Watch to let you build a real app, apps that actually are working it runs on Watch 1.0. It uses that style. Basically, it's the phone.
It runs from the phone, but it displays
in the watch. But it's pretty fast. And I gave it a nice library. The library is relatively complete to let you go out to URLs and stuff, be able to, you know, pick up data, et cetera. It comes with sample apps, et cetera, and it's free. Now, why did we do this? Did it because...
Well, hang on. I'm going to answer that for you because I think the reason you did it was cool and you wanted to play. And I'm guessing that's part of it.
That's close because my job as CTO is to understand the environment and my ability to program, the fact that I am an iOS developer and I am a JavaScript developer, I actually get to understand the technologies by getting hands-on. I wanted to do that. And I already had all sorts of – I had a Pebble and I had a Microsoft Band to know. And I knew this was a fertile area. But the other thing was that people were asking about it. And the best way to understand the watch
is to actually play with it and put stuff on it,
to
see how it works.
To be able to do answers to do it. And also it was for Alpha. Alpha was – we had to say something about the watch because everybody says,
What happens when people start walking into work with a watch, and can we enable and make it work?
This gave them something. Luckily, it gave us the ability to start our first learning what we could provide because Alpha could then build things for the system. We could automatically create code for Watch Bench if we wanted to, if we had to, if there was demand. There hasn't been that much demand for watch.
I think it's going to take a little time, although you'll see some people.
Okay.
You talk to Boeing and a few others. It's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But as you take a look at it, you know, what really becomes cool is you're giving people an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I watched it when you you were online waiting for Apple to approve it and all. You weren't sure they were going to.
No.
And, you know, it was actually pretty cool that they did. But, you know, let's go back to your company. And your CEO made a comment on stage today that I think when we get down to brass tacks, we're not going to disagree. But the way he said it, which was developing a mobile app is really hard. I'm violently opposed to that idea because I don't think mobile app development in itself, coding and development, is very hard. I think there are, and let me qualify that. I've dealt with a lot of developers. I've walked people through app development. I was part of end user experience at my last job in mobile. You know, worked on mobile innovation and user experience. And the way he described it is, creating an app is hard, and it's hard to do that development. Now, I think that there are pieces of it. I think that, you know, when we talk about the back end and some of the connections and all that, you need some expertise. I don't always think that expertise has to rely in the developer. Yes, there may be some developers who are focused on that, but to me, I look at the people who are developing the apps should be focused on user experience and have the ability to access those pieces. So I actually think there's a really large place for backends as a service because I think that you can take multiple sources, multiple APIs, and shrink them down to one and then have a person building apps against that one. they don't have to worry about how that data is stored in the back end or anything else.
That's not the – when if you're just building the user interface and tuning it is a lot of work. Now, what's a lot of work? Some companies will say $100,000, that's peanuts for us. Okay. Now, if you're talking about a –
consumer app
that's key to the business, that's true, because that's peanuts compared in these big companies. But if you're going to say, well, this is for somebody in a factory who works on this particular part of the line, and I'm going to have 1,000 such different things, $100,000 is not peanuts multiplied. It's the same thing of using a spreadsheet versus using BASIC or Protean C, as opposed to using Microsoft Access versus paying somebody to code it in other systems. That's why Power Builder and places like, you know, and Access, et cetera, became so popular, is that you want to be able to cut the cost of development down that, you
but,
know.
But I think, so, and I think there's a difference between cost of development, because I agree with you. Developing certain apps can be extremely expensive.
Right.
And a system that allows you to develop many apps with, even if it's a medium investment for getting all these sources exposed. But I think that where a lot of people fail, and I think it's something you actually address, is, and I want to use your watch prototyper because watch bench, because I think that what it shows you is you don't really have to understand how to create an app. It's how you display stuff on the screen, what it looks like in the user experience, and what data you want to make available. To me, that is 90% of app building. And I know some people will disagree with that, but if I don't know how to take data, turn it into information, then knowledge, and let people act on it, it doesn't matter how much I include in there.
Okay, so I do agree with you that it's extremely important. It, in terms of thinking about it and what's different, it's the 90%. However, it's not necessarily ever given 90% of the time, et cetera, and the money. Our job in building our systems, and where I'm spending an awful lot of time right now, is making it easier and easier and faster to build good UIs, be able to take the definitions of UIs from others who can't express it in the code and turn it into working programs really quickly.
And there's a huge place for that
because the 10% you're talking about isn't necessarily the amount of time really that goes into it and the cost. A lot of this thing of you should spend while the value may be in the 90, the differentiation is in the 90% of tuning the UI. The actual cost to do it may be in the 10% to implement that 90%. Could be huge.
That's a fair statement.
Our goal was to let the designer be able to say, here's the UI I imagine, and be able to translate that into working, usable code as inexpensively, quickly as possible, with as hireable as possible people, the people you already have.
So here's what I would challenge you with then. I don't think that the issue is developing – I agree with you. I don't think the issue is developing the 90%, although I think that they're – actually, I rephrase that. I think the issue is developing the 90%. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people can – there are people who can do that 10%. That 90%, there are people who don't speak the language who, to me, are coming from .NET, coming from C#, coming from – who are so bogged down, sort of like in the how do I build it in BASIC versus – do I learn a new language? What's the syntax and all this other stuff versus let me go talk to the users, figure out what I'm actually supposed to be building, designing it, and I'll find someone who can build it in the right language to do that. I think that your 10% is hugely important. What I see that is, and that's where I think the backend as a service or whatever you want to call it, middleware, whatever, connecting to multiple sources. I think we spend so much time, and I saw it, you know, like you, I've been in this industry a long time. People would hard code servers in there, hard code IP addresses. Right, yeah. How do I connect to a single source versus how do I expose a source so that people can.
That's the thing where you're saying that you view Alpha Anywhere as an MBAS, a backend as a service to some extent, because we do make it much easier for the developer to be able to do all that stuff, because we already have built in to connect all sorts of back ends for them, so they don't have to worry about a lot. They don't have to write the .NET code. We've already written it. They don't have to write this. We've already there's already a Node plugin for it. We've already included that Node plugin for doing that type of thing. So a lot of that stuff we already, indeed, simplifying that back end part has been very important to us. However, when you say you can get somebody to do it, a lot of people, I mean, even, I know so many people are desperate for coders to get somebody, it's especially to get coders at a price that for the myriad of apps, not for the few real important apps that I'll spend anything on, but, and the apps where I want the developer to be close to what's going on. I don't want them to be in another country who speaks a different language, who wants
the spec exactly as you want. Slash onshoring, I'm with you there. And I think that part of what you see with that is I don't think we spend enough time with our current developers in large enterprises working on helping them change their own mindset. Mm-hmm. To me, I think because I think they have the talent. I think they have the ability. But I think they're locked in a singular mindset. I mean, I've sat in rooms where people – I was a developer a very long time ago. I like to say, well, I'd offend people by saying it, but I gave it up for a variety of reasons. But for me, I tended to approach things of what's the problem I'm trying to solve and do it before I figured out the proper way to write it. And I used to confound my professors because, oh, I went over part of this in class and you should be using it. I said, but I did it in 10 steps.
Yeah.
And it was, well, you know, I would fight them for credit. And they say, well, you're right. It does work. You did it properly, but I want you to do it this way. I said,
That's why people use Alpha. The reason people use Alpha is because they can get the job done. They don't, that's what we've always been, it's the type of person has your mindset, has been the people who have been really attracted to Alpha anywhere, is because they just want to get the job done. They don't want to learn the latest and greatest,
But I guess my point was, I don't think it's learning the latest and greatest.
Some people love that.
Sure, there are some people who absolutely love that. I love playing with the latest gadgets. For me,
but that's different than I want to have the latest framework, and I want to do the next one with the latest framework next week, and then the latest framework.
But one of the issues there, because they run into a different problem of, I'm now on the latest framework, and of course you can do it with this. Whether or not it's actually easier, it's a challenge for them and everything else, and I'd rather do
that. That's right.
And it's still not the right mindset of how do I accomplish what I'm going to do versus this is how I've always written stuff. I'm writing it for a PC. I'm writing it for this type of screen, not understanding that the design language and the usage language has changed. Right. And I think that's part of what Alpha gets.
I think we're agreeing here because we're looking to say to tell people, you want to get the job done. We have a system that you can use, even if you're only using it to prototype something, that will let you get the job done by no matter what the back ends or whatever, by hook or crook, you'll be able to do it with our system without having to learn a lot of these other type of stuff. You'll be able to deploy on all sorts of different devices, you know, Android and iOS and Windows. You'll also be able to use the same system to do the web part if you want, because you have a web control panel that goes with it. We realize that there are people who are very pragmatic on that, and that is the mindset that we're looking at. I think you're focusing on when Richard said things are hard, what he was talking about is when people say, just turn, make it handle offline.
I think what he meant is different than what he said.
Yes. When he said hard, what he meant is if you look at the samples that Xamarin and some others have given of here's how you do offline, they then have an hour's worth of pages of code that show you here's how to do the simple case, okay? Just copy all this stuff but make it for your own thing and then handle the hard cases as an exercise to the reader. That is what I would call hard compared to an Alpha where there are a couple checkboxes saying mobile, make it offline capable here, hit the sync here, you click a few things and
you've done the work and you've said here, press some buttons.
That's what he means by hard.
And that works for a lot of cases. I actually think that even if you're not programming HTML, because I think a lot of what you do makes a lot of sense, but I think that there are, regardless of the language, if you're willing to change your mindset, I don't think mobile programming is that difficult. And I'm sure there'll be people who challenge me. And, you know, you and I had a conversation where I said, look, my daughter's a sophomore in high school. Yeah. She started with, you know, she's doing some computer science stuff. She learned how to make an iOS app. Right. And the first, you know, like anybody else, what's the first app you make? Hello World. Make that print on the screen, you know, make that show up on the screen, and then some interactions, and then a very simple app. And she learned how to do it. Yeah, there was some traditional programming in there. But, you know, the difference was when she looked at it, when she showed it to me, because, you know, she had a question at one point. Mm-hmm. Why isn't this coming up on the screen? And I asked her a question about, well, how do you make something appear on the screen versus what's the line of code you have to write?
Yeah.
And it was a very different – all of a sudden the light bulb went off. Okay, wait. I know how to do this. Yes. Why am I coding this way? And 5 minutes later, she's done. And that doesn't mean she made a complicated app.
But here's what she's bringing. What she's bringing to the table is that she lives in mobile. And without thinking of it, she'll have user interfaces that might be quite optimal for what the particular application is, and she'll understand that. Now, in terms of data integrity in the back end and stuff like that and connecting to it, does she understand? Will she even have a concept of that stuff? Probably not.
Probably not to start with, but I would challenge you to say, should she need to have that concept?
Here's the thing is that when it comes to what mobile has done, it's increased the number of things in the basket that you have to have for an application. That when we had standalone PCs doing something, connecting to nothing, the world was very constrained and simple. You know, you were in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
Then we started, you know, having LAN, and then you start, and then there's security issues of being, you know, they were in the web, and, you know, and then having different, being able to work with all sorts of different, the same code has to run on different environments, on different screen sizes and all that. Each of these things requires understanding something. Sometimes your development environment can aid that. Early iOS, for example, was not at all built around changing the way the screen looks. They have evolved the tools at Apple to better handle different screen sizes.
Absolutely.
Right. So your systems, what the spreadsheet did, as an example, is that it took the tedious parts of running the numbers and stuff like that and automated that and left the problem to you, okay? And what things you want, where you want
to
put
them. And that's what Alpha Anywhere.
Alpha Anywhere, well, all of the systems today, what you look for is to automate the hard stuff. Hopefully, we have chosen the right hard stuff to make simple and to automate, to leave you with the things that require a person to think about and to know. And you know, just knowing how to code is one piece of it. It's an important thing. Just like having an aesthetic sense or something like that, you know, understanding interactions. Now we have to understand interaction. We not only have to be going from 2D now to 3D, where the third D is time, is a new thinking for designers, right? And now Apple's giving us a fourth D of pressure, right?
Look, they certainly make it fun. I guess where we're differing and the slight point of change, I guess I see, is that I think a lot of that complication, what you call automation, shouldn't be being done by the front. I think we agree on that. Yeah. Shouldn't be being done by the front-end developer. I think the front-end, you know, and we've had front-end developers for web and everything else. Okay. I think what it comes down to is how do we do that and enable them to get their job done? And I think that too many times in the past for PC and everything, people were doing from one end to the other end versus what we talk about now. And, you know, and we're running out of time, so
this was great. Thank you so much.
Dan, I want to, you know, we're going to have to do this again at some point.
Right, and you're going to have to show me your Watchbench apps. You're going to have to build a killer app with it, a really cool thing.
I have to find time. First, I got to get this thing to finish updating.
Yes.
But again, thank you. And we're coming to you live from M Enterprise. And this has been absolutely awesome.